The issue of which set of regulations you fall under, whether the old ones or the new ones, do you have some indication from someone in authority as to which regulations you fall under?
Yes, we have a letter from the Sussex Conservation District.
That says that you fall under the...
No, we were grandfathered in, yes, because we supplied the information that they requested.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
You have that letter for the record?
I'll send that. I got it. I can submit it for the record.
Okay, we'll hold the record open for it. Okay, who's next? Okay.
We couldn't hear his response.
His response was that he has a letter from the Soil Conservation District that indicates that his project falls under the old regulations. That's what he said.
And he's going to supply that for the record.
He's going to supply it. We're going to hold the record open to receive it. So that's what he said. Yes, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, commissioners, and honorable staff. My name is Richard Morgante. I'm the president of the Old Landing Woods Owners Association, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Old Landing Woods Owners Association with the approval of the Board of Directors. I live at 13 Clubhouse Drive in the Old Landing Woods development. Old Landing Woods is a quaint development consisting of 41 large lots with custom-built homes on two streets, Fairway Drive and Clubhouse Drive. These streets surround a good portion of the Old Landing Golf Course, and if you'll permit me to show you.
Sure, go ahead.
This is Fairway Drive, and this, which isn't shown here, is Clubhouse Drive that winds around past here. So it's our homeowners association and our homes border Fairway Drive, border both sides of Clubhouse around to the end, just where these state lot lines are.
Okay.
Mr. Lank, he's walking back.
You hit the lights, please.
Yep, got you covered. Sorry. I was kind of enjoying it.
Our development will be one of those developments that's most directly impacted by this rezoning and development of the Old Landing Golf Course, and it's caused a great deal of concern. And I might say, I am not an attorney, I'm not an engineer, I'm a homeowner that's going to be greatly impacted. I'm representing 41 homeowners who are going to be greatly impacted by this development. Our development was established in the 1970s, and the homes in our community have been developed since that time. Our community is a tranquil, peaceful neighborhood that is unquestionably threatened by the Osprey Point development. While we realize the right of the owner to request rezoning, we're asking you to closely examine the current proposal submitted to the commission. As the testimony this evening will demonstrate, we believe that these plans are flawed in many respects and do not meet the code requirements. And I'll speak to that. And again, I'm speaking as a layman who spent hours now going through the file, reading the submission, reading the PLUS reports, reading the county codes, trying to determine what the requirements are. So I just ask you to bear with me, if you would, please. Our homeowners were attracted to the Old Landing Woods community because of its unique character of large lots with established single-family dwellings. We understood while the property that is subject of this rezoning request is presently developed as a golf course, it could be developed for residential use under the AR1 zoning. Considering the value of our homes, many of us researched the existing zoning and residential development potential of the golf course prior to purchasing our homes. Increasing the density of this property by changing the zoning is contrary to our reasonable expectations for the development of this property. And for this reason alone, we think this should be rejected. But beyond those reasonable expectations, we urge you to consider the character of the area in making your decision. This is not a rural, undeveloped landscape. Rather, it's a settled, established community. This is not open farmland. Rather, it's a well-developed community surrounding a developed golf course. Zoning restrictions, we believe, make the character of the neighborhood what it is. And for established neighborhoods, zoning restrictions are meant to maintain that character. Whereas here, there is a reasonable zoning scheme in place, we believe zoning should not change absent extraordinary conditions. We believe AR1 is reasonable with respect to this land and in keeping with the character of our adjacent community and those on Arnell Creek and Marshall Road, which are on this far end here, Arnell Road and Marshall Road. The concerns of the old Landing Woods community mirror those expressed this evening, but are magnified by the fact that our homes are the ones most directly impacted by the proposed development. Our concerns center on environmental and flooding impacts, density of the proposed community, worsening of traffic, congestion, and safety, and the quality of life for our residents and the surrounding community. Let me speak to environmental and flooding impacts. The land proposed for this development is within an environmentally sensitive developing area adjacent to Arnell Creek and Rehoboth Bay. And I heard the discussion before, but that was our belief that this was, the majority of this was and is an environmentally sensitive developing area. So I've heard that discussion, but that's our belief. Replete with sensitive wetlands and woodlands that provide critical habitat. Any development must consider these facts and rely on the existing density to form the basis for an environmentally sensitive residential development. The majority of the area that is subject to this rezoning request, and most certainly that area of the property located within that horseshoe of Fairway Drive and Clubhouse Drive, is FEMA rated AE and is prone to flooding and not suitable, we believe, for residential development. Permitting higher legal densities as would be permitted under the proposed rezoning will only promote and encourage development on this property in areas that we believe are unsuitable for development. And we believe they're in conflict with Sussex County Code Chapter 99, Article 2, Section 9, and Chapter 99, Article 4, Section 24. These cited code sections specifically specify the minimal use of wetlands and floodplains and dictate that the commission shall not approve a preliminary plat until it is determined by special studies, investigations, and technical data that the developer can overcome these conditions. From what we've been able to ascertain from looking at the files in Mr. Lank's office, this data has not been provided. No special studies, no investigations, no technical data. In fact, there are recommendations from state agencies in that PLUS report that the developer has only provided vague or incomplete answers to those issues raised in that PLUS report. So Osprey Point is asking that this be changed, as you've said before, from AR1 to MRRPC that will add 350 housing units in an environmentally sensitive area containing wetlands, possible burial grounds, and flood-prone areas. Adding a large amount of impervious surfaces, such as roads and houses, risks additional flooding in adjacent areas that already flood, such as Fairway Drive, Clubhouse Drive, Arnell Road, and Marshall Road, and they threaten the nearby residents with storm water damage. These impervious surfaces also threaten our water supply. All of the homes in the old Landing Wood development use well water in their homes. We do not have tide water in our community. As the PLUS report notes, Old Landing Golf Course is a well water resource protection area that was mentioned earlier. But as Denrick has noted, adding impervious surfaces will adversely impact both the quantity and the quality of that water supply. This is a serious issue for our community. A majority of this golf course, 58%, according to the FEMA flood plan information tool, is in a 100-year flood plan, Zone AE, and is prone to flooding. Sussex County Code requires that the developer provide technical data regarding issues relating to floodplains, wetlands, and buffer requirements, which the developer has failed to present at this point. I would like to present some photographs that show why we in Old Landing Woods development are especially concerned with this lack of data and the lack of some buffer requirements. And I'd like to start, if you don't mind.
Sure, go right ahead.
We have photographs that are, were taken with Sandy, and we realize Sandy was a severe storm. Oh. But we also have...
But it happened.
Right. But we also have photographs that were taken just in early December after a moderate rainfall in early December. So what I'd like to do is just to point out, if I could, some of the flooding. So I'll start here. There are 12 homes that are proposed along Fairway Drive, and that's right here in this area here, that small area. And this is the water that was standing in that area, just two pictures of the water that was standing in that area where those 12 houses are going to be erected. And then if you look at the this area here, which is across from Fairway to Clubhouse Drive, these photographs show the flooding in that area that's marked in the blue there, across from Fairway to Clubhouse Drive, where houses and building lots have been proposed in the scheme that's been submitted for your approval. And then there is a pink area here, which is right where houses and roadways are going to go. Again, during Sandy, these show pictures of the flooding in that area. And finally, I just wanted to show you what happens right now in Arnell Creek and to some of the homes in our community, which are these homes here. This, and as you can see, this is the deck of a house, and that water was right up under the deck and into their lower living area. This house was several houses down, and that flooding was right there covering the end of their driveway and into their crawl space. This flooding was at a house next door to that, and further down the street, this just shows you some of the flooding that takes place along Arnell Creek. And so I think this just depicts, during a superstorm Sandy, what happened in our community. And that's why we're concerned with adding these 350 units to this land. And then I'd just like to show the same area again, but showing some pictures. This is December 9th. These pictures were taken on December 9th. Now, December 9th, do you even remember that there was a rain December 9th? It was a moderate rainfall on December 9th. And again, this is Fairway Drive, where 12 houses are planned, after a very moderate rainfall. This area, from Fairway Drive, again, across to Clubhouse Drive, where there are 8 building lots depicted, this is the flooding across here. This is actually looking from Clubhouse Drive. This is the flooding throughout that area. This is on December 9th, after a moderate rainfall. And then at the end of Clubhouse Road, this is what Clubhouse Road looked like, right here at the end. This is what it looked like in October, same location taken at a different time, and this is what it looked like on December 9th. Same thing. This is, again, right down here. This is what it looks like on October 14th. This is what it looked like on December 9th. And looking at just another angle, this is the roadway, the little stream on October 14th. This is December 9th. And I've heard the developer and his attorneys talk about the study that they did and the contractor that came in and marked these wetlands off. They marked this land, this is what they marked. But this is what happens on a regular basis in this community. And it's the same thing down here. This is flooded completely from Fairway Drive completely across to Clubhouse Drive. The little markings that they put were around two ponds. None of this is even marked as being a waterway or a flood area in what in the data that they've submitted to you. And that's why we're very concerned about this development. And Mr. Wheatley, you raised, I believe, a good question. What recourse do we have? And what plan do they have? I'm not sure what your reaction was, but when Mr. Crouch responded, it gave me no comfort that the homeowners in our association the 41 homes and also those along Arnell Road and Marshall Road are going to have any recourse. And they talk about a storm management system, and perhaps it's too early, but we would like some to be able to review that. I heard them say, trust me. That's what I heard, and maybe that's not what you heard, but I heard them say, trust me. But I don't know. We have seen nothing in the file that we've been able to examine that gives us any comfort that these are going to be, these issues are going to be addressed. So I think these pictures clearly depict, and I'll leave these for the record, sir, that even a modest rainfall causes extensive flooding on the golf course. Many of our homes and much of the roadways in our community, in Clubhouse Drive and Fairway Drive, already experience flooding, even in modest rainfalls, something the developer knows well since he lives in our neighborhood. The addition of this proposed development, created without consideration of the required analyses and remediation plans, will cause more extensive flooding and cause our homes harm. They'll harm our property and harm our home values. Then I'd like to just briefly talk about the density. And I know the attorneys have talked about this. But the density of the Osprey Point development is a total, as they've said, of 350 homes on 126.8 acres. And that equates to 2.77 units per acre. The density would be greater if inappropriate, if lands inappropriate for development were taken out of this calculation. We believe the developer should be limited to 2 units per acre after eliminating these flood-prone areas. That's the total density, which you've heard their attorney speak to, of the Sawgrass South development, which is immediately across the road from this Osprey Point development. In addition, when we looked at the flood map, the FEMA flood map, and we have a picture of this FEMA flood map, and these are zoned AE, are the floodplain area.
You're really going to have to lift that up so we can see.
Sure.
There we go.
My apologies.
Not a problem.
But these are the flood prone areas.
Okay.
When I went in and looked at the Sawgrass South, first of all, they have 2 units per acre at Sawgrass South. And when you look at the FEMA map, they have avoided in virtually all of their building any of these AE areas in building that development. And I understand, and I think somebody will speak to this later, some of them still have flooding. Mr. Marshall's talking about building homes in these AE areas. That causes us a great deal of concern in our community.
Can I ask a question on that? Because I can't see it from here. Where's the boundary of the proposed development on that, on the creek side?
On the, well, so this is Arnell Creek right here.
Right. Yeah, you're kind of, your head was in the way. I couldn't see it.
Logistics.
Yeah.
This is
the creek.
This is Arnell Creek. See, and there's a runoff from Arnell Creek that goes into this pond. This is what's marked off, and this is what is marked off. But what I was trying to show the commission is that this is what floods regularly, even in a modest rainfall. This area completely through here. The orange markers are around here and here, but this is what is flooding even in a modest rainfall.
Can I ask a question based on that, though? Just following that logic, but aren't a lot of the houses on that exist, I guess, that come back around on Clubhouse Drive, aren't they in the same floodplain that you're talking about this development being in?
Yes, they are. And see, and that's what gives us concern. We already experienced that flooding. Some of the people in our community already experienced that flooding. Our roads already flood. That water, when there is a storm, that water pushes up Rehoboth Bay and up Arnell Creek and pushes into this golf course. Where is that water going? And that's what our concern is. Some of these homes are already experiencing flooding, and our roads are already flooded. So density is a concern to our homeowners association. The significant increases in traffic along Old Landing Road is a concern. I won't speak to that. You've already spent some time talking about that. I would say in our review and looking back on issues that have come before this commission, we found in 2004 testimony and reporting on issues before rezoning before this commission talking about Old Landing Road and improvements needed to Old Landing Road. And I have to tell you, in the 10 years since that time, nothing's been done to improve the traffic on Old Landing Road. 10 years.
We've heard that for...
I was going to say, only 10?
Do I have 15? Okay. So in addition to the...
I can tell you some stories after class.
Thank you. In addition to these environmental, these flooding, these density traffic concerns that I already mentioned, we have some very specific concerns that I'd like you to consider in your deliberations for this Osprey Point development. First of all, I'd like to talk about those 12 homes that Mr. Marshall's talking about putting along Fairway Drive. And if I could get, I'm going to take these down. I just want to show you. Thanks. So this is the development, and they've pointed this out in their presentation, and these are their roads. There are 12 houses that are not facing and are not going to be on their roads. These 12 houses are on Fairway Drive. Those are directly within our development. Our development is here, around here. Those 12 are on Fairway Drive and directly within our development. They're completely isolated, except for their backyards, from the other 338 homes in the Osprey Point development. And contrary to what was submitted and said here earlier this evening, there is no buffer there between this Osprey Point development and our development. Again, I point to those 12 homes on Fairway Drive. They've talked about a 20 or 25, I thought it was 25 as I read the file, a 25-foot buffer. There's no buffer there with those 12 homes. In addition, the code requirements from Chapter 99, Article 1, Sections 5 and 6 require a forested buffers or landscape buffers that must be depicted in the preliminary and final plans for development. The proposal, we believe, fails to meet that requirement. Secondly, both the style and the size of the proposed lots will be out of keeping with our existing neighborhood, which is directly across the street. Where the developer wants to put 12 homes, we currently have 7 homes on Fairway Drive, each of which have their own individual style and character. Fairway Drive, I would also mention, is already a shared roadway. This commission and the council approved the woods at Arnell Creek about 2 years ago, and there are 32 homes that are going to be built at the end of Fairway Drive. They were asked to reach out to us and to come up with a mutual roads maintenance agreement. We have yet to have an agreement with Main Street Homes, who's developing this woods at Arnell Creek. Adding yet a third development that shares this road, we believe places an undue hardship on our community. Drainage problems and flooding issues also exist along Fairway Drive. As I've pointed out, even in a modest rainfall, there's already flooding. Furthermore, there's already a forested area there, providing a forested buffer. We would ask the commission that you require them to maintain that forested buffer between this new development and our development. I'd also like to address, as a very specific request, as I've mentioned before, the flooding from Fairway Drive across to Clubhouse Drive. There are 8 lots that are proposed for building in that area. S-128, 129, 130, 131, 132, 133, 134, and S-157. These eight lots are in an area that frequently floods. Placing homes in this flood-prone area is going to exacerbate problems in an already poor drainage area. I'm submitting for the records the photographs that were taken by various homeowners in this area to show the flooding that occurs. The addition of eight homes on those sites would prove problematic not only for those eight homes that are going to be built there, but certainly for the homeowners in our association that abut this property. We ask that it, at a very minimum, that you eliminate these eight lots in any approval that you may give to the Osprey Point development. So in conclusion, I ask on behalf of the 41 owners of the Old Landing Woods development that you reject this proposal, or at a minimum, postpone action until you have assured yourself that this developer has met all the requirements of the county code, and more importantly, provides the required investigations, studies, and technical data, and makes critically needed adjustments to this plan. And I thank you very much for the time this evening and your attention.
Thank you. I appreciate your comments. Okay, who's next?
Good evening. Hi. My name is Charlotte Reed. I live at 21052 Laguna Drive. I'm here speaking on behalf of my spouse and my neighbors to identify some areas where we respectfully request the commission to take note and to examine carefully whether or not this project should be approved as with a medium residential designation RPC. And the reason that we feel that it should not be approved in the end by the council is that the golf course is, quote, located in the environmentally sensitive developing area. And that was a statement, and I just referred, the letter will speak for itself. It's Mr. Lank's letter dated July 28th, 2014. I believe council is correct in his reading of the law that the environmentally sensitive district overlays the zoning districts. The project...
Can I ask a question, though, to follow with that? I mean, that's at least my initial opinion, but do you believe that if it's in the environmentally sensitive development district overlay, that precludes it from being developed MR?
No, I do not. Okay. I believe that the council has authority to determine the density in the zoning, and that we can show, if we had all the information, which we apparently do not, we can show solid reasons for why the limitation, a density limitation, should be placed on this parcel. Going back to the hydric soils, the soils that are very, that have a tendency to absorb water and retain water and cause flooding. And they would be the Falsington, the Broadkill, the Piney Neck, and the Manahawkin soil series. And another gentleman who, I don't know if he's going to speak, provided a letter to you dated December 29th, 2014, discussing this issue. His name is Stephen Britz. The other point that I'd like to raise is I'm not entirely confident that what the conservation district has been provided can sustain a finding that this project is grandfathered, and I would ask you all to take a closer look at that. I don't have the information. I can't speak to that, to the accuracy of that statement.
Ultimately, that's going to be the conservation district's determination.
I'm sorry.
I said ultimately that's going to be the conservation district's determination. I mean, we don't have any authority over them. If they say it's grandfathered, you know, we're going to abide by that.
I understand.
So, yeah.
I understand. However, the fact that they're requesting authority to build single-family dwellings on the lowest minimum lot size and cluster multiple rows of townhouses is an issue that we take very seriously. Applicant has suggested that building 293 homes under AR1 would be appropriate under the current zoning. I believe that's an overstatement of the buildable land and the lot sizes that would suggest a cluster development. It's not a true cluster development under either zoning provision, because a true cluster option is supposed to, quote, result in the permanent preservation of a substantial percentage of the tract. And I commend to your for the site to that is Note 2, Future Land Use Plan, page 3-15. We believe the wetlands should not count as open space, which you should consider in light of the comprehensive plan community design element at page 11-9. In fact, because the parcel is located in an environmentally sensitive developing area, the future land use plan provides that the option to increase density to 4 dwellings from 2 dwellings per acre, quote, may not be allowed in an environmentally sensitive developing area. And I would cite the future land use plan, page 3-16. When I say may not be allowed, what I'm trying to point out is that you all have discretion here. The county council has discretion here. And what we're really asking you to do is what we know you already do, is take these things very seriously, look at them, study them carefully. But we would urge you to take into account the effect on the environment that this is going to have, and the fact that, as we've already mentioned, special scrutiny requires that information that should be provided on a timely basis, which apparently the file is not up to date, as they just indicated by not having filed a letter from the Conservation District in a timely manner. And we would argue that the purpose of the special scrutiny is to analyze environmental impacts, effects on stormwater runoff, nitrogen and phosphorus loading, wetlands, woodlands, wastewater treatment, water systems, and other matters that affect the ecological sensitivity of the inland bays. The bottom line here is this parcel is one of the last open spaces that provides a large recharge area for the Rehoboth Bay, which is part of the system of the inland bays, which is under a bit of stress now, given some of the things that have happened over the last 60 years. We recommend that you take very seriously the DENREC Plus comment that the applicant should avoid building in the Heidrick, Falsington, Broadkill, Manahawkin soil mapping units. And you've seen that our engineer did a good job of showing you where they are. I'm not going to go over that in more detail. In fact, I wrote a 7-page letter that I'm not reading to you in deference to your time. The wetlands buffer of 25 feet, as you noted, is admirable. However, we believe, because of the sensitive nature of this biodiverse area, that the wetlands buffer should be larger. And we believe you all have the authority to require that. And we would ask you to consider doing that in your recommendations to the council, should you decide this application should go forward. I only have 2 more points that I'd like to make. The sewer system is stressed at this point. My understanding is that the pipeline is being built to take the fact that Wolfneck. Thank you. Wolfneck is at its capacity to kind of move it off and put it in the inland bay system. That's not really the best solution, and I'm not going to talk about the outfalls either. The point I'm trying to make is that we care about this environment. We're not just here because we don't want to see townhouses. We're here because we care about our neighbors. We're not disrespecting Mr. Marshall's right to develop his land. We're just urging everyone to take a step back and say, what's the best way to do this with the least environmental damage the least possibility of flooding neighbors, adjacent neighbors, who have obviously had flooding in the past. And I don't want to take up more of your time other than to say there are so many processes that could be undertaken that have not been, in my opinion. A sedimentation control plan, a peer-reviewed wetlands delineation, a grading plan, the infill estimates. To grade that land over there at the level it's at right now, to get it up above where it would need to be to comply with regulations, would require thousands of dump truck loads of dirt, in my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. Who's next?
Good evening.
Hi.
My name is Sandy Oropel. I'm not an expert witness. I'm not an attorney. I'm just a resident with my partner of Catalina Circle in Sawgrass South, and a proud member of this group of residents in opposition to the rezoning by Osprey. I'm going to address some of the traffic and safety issues that will have a grave impact on all the homeowners along Old Landing Road. Some of it might be redundant. You'd heard some of the stuff before, but I spent hours, and we did lots of research, so maybe you can bear with me.
I don't have to be anywhere until 6:15 tomorrow morning.
I like your sense of humor.
I'll stay here just as long as we need to.
Okay. DLDOT has identified Old Landing Road, you've heard this before, as facing high volumes of traffic for over a decade or more. The headlines in the Cape Gazette back in 2004 read, Old Landing Road traffic, a big concern. DLDOT had assigned the Old Landing Warrington Strawberry Way intersection, LOS, level of service, grade F, which means that traffic demand exceeds the design of the intersection. Plans to improve this intersection are just what they are, plans, nothing more. Nothing has been done in over 10 years. Osprey Point would add, according to their information, 2,800 trips to this heavily traveled road daily. This additional vehicle traffic will only increase the traffic congestion at the intersection of Old Landing, Warrington, and Strawberry Way. As heard, DLDOT permitted Osprey Point to do a TOA, traffic operational analysis report, a less detailed study in lieu of DLDOT performing the more extensive traffic impact study, the TIS. As stated, the last TIS is from 2011, and it is insufficient because it does not take into account the development of Old Landing Road since then, which, as we've heard, amounts to almost 2,000 homes along Old Landing Road from the four-way stop sign south. We deserve better than that. We believe this TIS is mandated here. A TIS would have required improvements of Old Landing Road to meet state standards and would address our traffic and safety issues that we're faced with. I'd also like to mention that the research that I'm in this short presentation involves a report from Gary Norris, AICP. Gary is a professional planner with over 40 years of experience in these matters and recently retired as the city planner of the city of Milford. The Delaware Department of Safety, Homeland Security, Division of State Police, Strategic Plan 2014 through 2018. The Delaware Crash Analysis Reporting System. Traffic-related accident information in Troop 7 area, as reported by the Delaware State Police, 2008 to 2013, and the Delaware Crash Analysis Reporting System information specifically for the Old Landing Road, which I can present to Mr. Lenk as backup. A review of the DelDOT Crash Analysis Report from October 2009 to October 2014 indicates 18 crashes have occurred on Old Landing Road. 7 of these accidents have occurred along the stretch that runs parallel to the Old Landing Golf Course between Bonaire and Mirabella, with 4 of them occurring during 2014. And it fails to take into account the accidents that were not reported and not counted. In a review of the Delaware State Police Strategically Planning Report 2014 to 2018, one of the 4 key areas is traffic safety and their ability to provide adequate services. One of the key trends and factors that will influence the delivery of these services is population growth. Sussex County alone stands to gain 16,000 citizens between 2014 and 2018. The proposed Osprey development, with a density of 350 units, will add thousands of additional residents and would mean increased pedestrian and bicycle traffic on Old Landing Road, as well as more cars and trucks involving over those 2,900 trips per day on a one-way in and a one-way out road. This will create additional traffic and related safety issues for which the Delaware State Police Troop Number 7 will be unable to deliver quality and competent law enforcement services due to their already low staffing levels and will undoubtedly jeopardize our public safety. Take this scenario. If there is a major accident at that four-way stop intersection that disrupts traffic flow, and then should there be another emergency, a heart attack, a fire, this intersection, it would be almost impossible for an EMT or the fire apparatus to get there for this second emergency. And finally, a great concern is that Old Landing Road is the only outlet should there be an order for residents to evacuate in the case of a major hurricane and flooding. These traffic and safety issues are a major concern for all the residents along Old Landing Road, and I urge the commission to respectfully deny their OSPE points application for rezoning. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Who's next? Okay.
I know you're going to be here. You don't have to wait till 6:15, but I'm going to try to be quick.
I didn't say I wanted to stay till 6:15.
Can you pass that down?
I will.
I'm not going to go through all this, so I'll kind of keep it short.
Thank you. It'll be in the record, though. It'll be part of the record.
My name is Donna Voigt, and I live directly across the street from the golf course in Sawgrass, like a lot of my neighbors here. So I don't want to be repetitive and sort of hit things that they've already covered. But before I get started, I did want to address that question. If a 100-foot buffer is desired around wetland, why isn't it codified? I believe it was. They tried to codify that. And as I understand that the council was then joined with five builders joined a lawsuit that the council brought to say that, no, that was a determination by Sussex County. It wasn't something that the state could mandate. Anyway, that was on the internet. The testimony was public record on the internet. So in conjunction with doing Move On and getting 165 signatures in 2 weeks, I can kind of stumble across that one too. Anyway.
There is a way for them to do it, but they haven't done it.
Yeah.
There's a way for them to do it, but they haven't done it.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Okay. It was interesting. The testimony was very interesting.
And we're aware of the lawsuit, and on the basis and the manner in which they went about it was illegal.
Oh.
But there are ways they could do it. They're the state. We're the county. They, ultimately they can pretty much do whatever they want if they do it the right way.
Okay, that's good.
Talk to your legislator.
Good point. I'll definitely do that. So, again, just like my neighbors have said, I'm not personally opposed to development on the golf course per se, but we want to see a prudent plan. And, you know, quite honestly, this plan, when you look at it, you can tell it's just stacked for the highest density possible. So what I did, I brought you a copy here that you can pass down to look at how Sawgrass is laid out. And when Sawgrass was, came before the board, they got kudos from both the state and at the state and local level for their design, because it was a sensible design and it allowed for a lot of open space. And it didn't just stack row after row after row of townhouses. That's why we left the city. You know, we're used to the urban sprawl. I'm from outside D.C. That's what we have. It's every square inch is built, and it's the highest density possible. We didn't come here for that, per se. So that's what this reminds me of. And so when you look at the plans and everything, you see that that it's very, very densely packed, and you're not finding a lot of open space between the lots. So I went back and I looked, and again, I'm not an expert either, so this is just from my own research. And there were some things that jumped out at me from the Sussex County zoning, and this is in the comprehensive plan for future land use. And I just want to hit a couple of these bullets for you. Homes should be clustered on the most suitable portions of the site, and important natural areas should be singled out for preservation before lot lines are engineered. And I think we talked about that with the flood zones. These are the soil types up here that we've already showed. And you can see that the development is over top of that. And we would hope that the lot lines would remove this and then build lots around that area that's left. Then make sure the proposed open space can benefit the residents of the development instead of being fragments of leftover lands with little development or recreation value. Well, if your open space is stormwater management and retention ponds and that sort of things and wetlands that you shouldn't be tromping through anyway, that's really kind of your leftover fragments. There is the 5-acre set of land that they did set aside for recreation, which would be for the common use. But beyond that, I don't see where it's really aligning to this bullet. Direct buildings away from wetlands, waterways, and other natural features. And again, that's speaking back to the 100-foot buffers. Require that homes be placed on portions of the tract that are most environmentally suitable for development as opposed to evenly spread across the land. Someone on the development team said that they didn't want to have a cookie-cutter neighborhood, but when you look at the lots, that looks pretty cookie-cutter to me. But again, I'm not an expert on that, but that looks like it's kind of evenly spread across the land, just as tightly and densely packed as it could be. Preserve scenic features so that homes can be placed on less visible portions of a tract while maintaining scenic views. Again, when you're that densely packed on 7,500 square feet of lots, you're so densely packed, you're not going to have much of a view of anything. Poor and natural drainage areas should be located early in the design process to save time and money by minimizing future design issues, protecting natural resources, and reducing future drainage and flooding problems during and after construction. I think we've pretty well beat that one to death. I think that we've talked a lot about the flooding in the area. We've talked a lot about the concerns of the neighbors of flooding on their property. I live right across the street. I've got a picture in here of the golf course. You'll see the fence line, and you'll see that the water is right up to the fence line. I'm right across the street. So, yes, I have concerns about if you build there and you add impervious surfaces, is the water going to come across the street? So I'm going to skip through some of these pictures because you guys can look at them. There are pictures of the golf course flooding, and it's flooding on the very spots that they are proposing to build. So in summary, you know, like I said, we're not opposed necessarily to development, but we are expecting some prudence. And given the types of soil, given this is a flood area, and given the flooding problems already in that area, and the traffic concerns, it feels as though the commission, the council, has a moral responsibility to its citizens to make sure that due prudence is exercised in the design of the site. Not that no development should go on, but do it in a way that ensures the safety and well-being of the neighbors. And then finally, my last point here speaks to something that Mr. Fuqua, and I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name, with all due respect to Mr. Marshall, land's an investment. And just like any other investment, sometimes you hold it too long. You know, you've had an opportunity, you've owned that land for 100 years in your family since 1991, I think it was, that Robert had it. If you sit back and you take a wait-and-see approach, sometimes you don't make out as handsomely as you would like. I could kick myself over Google 1,000 times a day. Why didn't I buy it when it was cheaper? But I did a wait-and-see, and I didn't get the best deal, and I could have made more. So sometimes it's not the greatest thing to wait and see, because after everything else is built, the landscape changes. And you have to consider the way that the landscapes change to evaluate whether or not that wait and see was really the right thing to do. Personally, I think that maybe in his case it wasn't. He's like the last piece of land along there. Everything's developed. We have more of a traffic problem than we've ever had. And I think maybe that needs to be considered as well. So it's not an entitlement that if you wait and see, you get the same deal as the guy that went back in 2003 or 2004. It's not an entitlement. And so all of us have the same rights to enjoy our property and enjoy our investments, but it's certainly not an entitlement. So with that, I close, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. One thing, if I could respond to that, just because so that everybody here knows also. And I hear your point with this property, and it's come up with several recent applications we've dealt with. The county actually was in a lawsuit several years ago where the county got sued. It's the Gibson case. And basically the judge in that case said, you know, because I was looking at it while somebody was reading it, and he said, you know, and this is what we have to wrestle with. This is what makes the commission's job so tough. Simply put, the opponent's desire to say this far and no further about their community is understandable, but it is not a non-arbitrary reason to deny the Gibsons the same property rights that many among the opponents are themselves enjoying. You know, and it's just one of those things that we have to wrestle with. We've seen it on the campground applications. We've seen it on some of the other ones that have come before it. So I don't know. Your point makes maybe sense from a common sense point of view. We've also got to deal with what the Delaware courts have told us.
And well, I think you know, as a citizen, you have to look at it in total. You can't just put blinders on and say, I'm going to look at what happened, you know. I'm going to look at it at just this one surface level. I think you have to look at it in the total, kind of zoom out and look at it in total and say, gosh, look at all the changes that have happened, and we have to apply current knowledge. Like any law, you have to interpret it in the context of where we are today, not where we were 10 years ago. Anyway, but thank you all very much for your time, and thank you very much for having people explain things to us. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. Okay, who's next? Sure, come on up. No, you'll get there. Not a problem.
Jean Goldie Sanitate again, Sawgrass South Community.
That should pull out and down. Not working for you?
I know. It's just like those credit card things that are too high that I pull out of the wall. Anyway, okay. Let me see if I can kind of.
It's picking it up fine.
Lay down. Pick it up, whatever.
Okay.
Lay it down.
No,
lay
I mean, it's
just
bend it.
Lay it down and bend it up.
My comment is about the water runoff.
Okay.
And when they were talking...
ladies and gentlemen, we had testimony going on up here. Knock it off.
And when the other people from the Osprey community were talking about the burn that was going to separate us, if he's having all these retention ponds and he has a burn, then when the rain comes... where does it go? Down into Old Landing Road and into Sawgrass South. So the burn really is going to exclude the fact of the retention ponds or the his water treatment. That's what I'm saying. By creating a burn, you know, to close off the amount so we wouldn't look at their townhouses, supposedly. That plus also talking about his open space, I don't particularly feel that a paved road is an open space, nor do I particularly feel that a road kind of or a like what we have sometimes at Sawgrass. We do have open space, and we do have space that is wetlands, but we do have actual open space, not just the certain areas. But and I am a hand cyclist. I ride a hand cycle, so I am low to the ground. People cannot see me. I put flags all the way up, and they come to the bottom of windshields. I use this road to train on. I was on a pre-Paralympic team, and I did compete for the Air Force for Warrior Games for first, second, third. I use this as my training area, and I still to this day do hand cycle. I've done the bike to the bay 82 miles in one day, and I'm a serious hand cyclist. And this is going to really affect, with all those turning lanes. I live on Bon Air, so I come out that way, and then I'm going to have to fight with people going right across from me that way. Plus, we got my turning lane, their turning lane, and it's really going to be dangerous to me and to other cyclists. And I know that Old Landing Road, to get all this extra traffic. Now, if we talk about townhouses, for one townhouse, just say you have three family members with cars, four family members. You get teenagers or whatever. That's what they have to look at, a multiple, units like that, where single-family homes don't have as many cars, or they might have the cars, but not as many people driving them. You know what I mean? It's just a whole different thing to look at. And being so tightly stacked to where, the houses are, you got like, okay, Old Landing Road, a little burn, a road in front, the townhouse, another townhouse backing up to it, another road, another. There was, what, four rows of townhouses? That's what I would call, it might be considered medium density, but to me, that's high density, and especially in that tight area where they have it. And that's really all I would like to say.
Okay.
Could I get your name, please? I missed it with the microphone.
Okay.
Could I get your name, please?
Oh, I'm sorry, Jean. I'll give you a card.
That's all right. Okay. I can do it. I just.
Yeah, it's easier than the next person.
I just couldn't hear you when we were playing with a microphone.
Else? I'm not an expert. I'm just a resident.
And your name quick is?
Deborah Quayle. Dr. Deborah Quayle. One, there's
just
a bunch
second.
Of.
Just make this. Mr. Lank was taking her name.
Did you get her name?
That's okay. Quayle. Q-U-A-L-E-Y. Okay. One point in deference to Mr. Fuqua. Yes, there are townhomes at Sawgrass, but there are none along Old Landing Road. You cannot see a townhouse from Old Landing Road. We're talking about rows of townhouses now. That's one issue. Two, yes, there's sensitive environmental areas. Yes, there's wetlands and environment, but we don't have a bay. This is the only property that abuts the bay, an entirely different issue. Three, I have heard nothing about sea level water-wise, nothing in this study. It's supposed to be 0.33 millimeters per year. That's a lot of rise over the next 10, 15, 20 years, another environmental impact that has not been mentioned at all today. Fourth, there are a number of emergency medical personnel who live in Sawgrass, Old Landing Woods, who would have trouble getting out if there were an accident to take care of those people. And four, personally, getting up Arnell Road to rescue a friend's cat, I was up to my waist in water. That's how much flooding there is in a nor'easter, not a hurricane. There are a lot of issues that need to be discussed here and have not been covered.
Did the cat make it?
Cat's doing great. That's how much flooding there is in a nor'easter.
Okay, thank you. Yes, ma'am. And then you, sir, in the back, you'll be next. Good. Come on.
Hi, my name is Evelyn Simmons. I live at 7 Arnell Road. And we have been tremendously impacted by flooding in our community. And certainly it's from coming from the bay, We have had some flooding that I have seen with help from the golf course. And flooding, I know, is an issue. However, I'm not going to speak about that anymore, fortunately. We've done enough of that already, and we've beat it to death. But I heard something earlier in a presentation that has concern for me. Number one, I heard someone say that the road going into your development belongs to Robert Marshall. Is that correct? Okay. We have the same situation on Arnell Road. Arnell Road belongs to Robert Marshall. The marina belongs to Robert Marshall that's in our community, and we're the old landing community all the way at the end, the last subdivision down there. I heard someone earlier say that they were going to put in boating docks. I'm a boater. We have a boat on the lagoon there. First of all, I was wondering if that dredging has been approved, because it's nothing but mud there. Okay, dredging would have to take part for that to even be an issue. Secondly, I also heard someone say that if they couldn't use the docks, that they would have access to a boat ramp. Well, the only boat ramp that I know that they would have access to would be the one at the marina that Robert Marshall owns. And I'm wondering how that would impact our road and our community. Would people be able to come from Sawgrass all the way around through Arnell Road, bring their boats? Now, we have an issue, a little bit of an issue there right now. People go to the marina, they rent spaces from Mr. Marshall, and it's really not that much of a problem. It is a problem sometimes with parking. There's a little bit of parking area there, and if people are going to be putting boats in and out, what are they going to do? Drop their boat off, take their car, go all the way back to their house? No, they stay there, leave their trailers and everything there, and then they go out boating, and they come back. I know one day I actually had to go get Mr. Marshall because one of them had actually pulled in and parked their trailer across Arnell Road, and we couldn't get around. We had to go up on our neighbor's lawns to be able to get around. So there's more of an issue dealing with this development than there is just the flooding and the concern about the condition of of the golf course. There's a lot of other things that are going on in surrounding areas that need to be considered as well. And that's all. Thank you.
All righty. Thank you. All the way in the